One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Welcome to Expanded Perspectives. I'm your host, Kyle Filson, and I'm here in beautiful Skeleton Studios on a beautiful, warm Texas fall day. Getting ready for fall, folks. Getting ready for the State Fair. Me and Cam and our wives, we're going to be going to the State Fair next week. Cam is not here today. He's not in studio. It's been a rough week. He's sick. He was throwing up. He was sick for about 3 days. And then he was already set to leave to go to Broken Bow for his anniversary. And they've already paid for the trip, so they can't back out now or they'll lose all their money. So that's where he's been. He's been sick all week. He's on vacation. So I'm just going to have to wing it in studio alone. It's this time of year. This is how it goes. Kids start school. They start bringing home viruses and colds and things like that. His daughter is actually a school teacher, so it's not shocking that she probably brought something home from school and passed it off to Cam. So, of course, I don't want him coming here to the studio and giving it to me. The last thing I need is to get sick. But not to worry. We're going to do a show on time slips today, one of my favorite subjects. But, yeah, as I was mentioning about the State Fair, me and my wife, we go to the State Fair every year. And it's a lot better now when the kids, without the kids, when it's just me and my wife. When the kids were young, we'd have to take them. And don't get the wrong picture. It's fun taking them, but man, is it way, way, way more expensive. The places, the State Fair has great food and things, but the games and the Midway, it's rigged. They don't take cash. Everything is off coupons. Well, they charge, so you don't know exactly what much you're getting. It's like, this ride is 8 coupons. This ride's 12 coupons. It's a way to trick you into not realizing how much money you're spending. I remember when the twins were younger and Luke was real little, we'd go to the Midway. I'd have like $400. And I'm like, we're going to have fun today. We're going to have a blast. No, $400 is gone in like the first hour, right? They're going from game to game. They're not even finishing games. I'm like, you didn't even finish. So it's a lot cheaper to go older without kids, just me and my wife. We get to look at the cars. We get to look at all the new campers. You know, we get to look at stuff we can't afford, but it's still fun to look. It's fun to daydream. So Cam and Cynthia, they haven't been in like 15 to 20 years, I think he told me. And so they're going to go with us. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. Speaking of good times, me and Luke have been on a horror watching triathlon, or whatever you want to call it. We've watched 3 movies so far. I'm not really into horror, but Luke is, so I'm trying to go down the path with him. He introduced me to Terrifier, because I think the new one's coming out next week. We watched Terrifier 1, Terrifier 2, and look, they're not the best of movies. If you like gore, there's a lot of gore. In fact, that's all the movie was excessive amounts of gore, but no clear answer as to what's even happening. Like, I can't figure out why the clown is killing everybody. But anyways, we watched that. What else did we do? Oh, yeah. We went to watch American Werewolf in London in the theater. Luke, of course, has seen the movie at the house, but he wanted to go to the theater to see what it was like to watch it when I was a kid. He's very nostalgic. Luke he's a Renaissance man. So we did that, and it was pretty cool. You know, I've seen that movie 100 times, but it's been a minute since I saw it in an actual theater. It was very cool. In fact, I had such a good time that I want to start looking into going to theaters to see a lot of my favorites. I'd like to see like Red Dawn, the original one, you know, in theaters. That would be cool. What else did we see? Oh, so he was making me watch these movies. So I decided to introduce him to a movie, and I introduced him to The Lost Boys. I couldn't believe it. Luke's never seen it before. So I knew he would like it. He would like Corey Haim. He would like Corey Feldman, you know, and the other two guys, I don't remember who they were. You know, they're filling up their water guns with holy water and they're carrying around wood stakes. You know, it's like Monster Squad kind of. So he loved it. So that was very cool. And we've been having a good time getting ready for Halloween. Let's get into some news before we get into the segment. Check this out. It says, this happened when I was around 16 years old. I was in high school and living in my parents' ranch home in Butler County in western Pennsylvania. For several weeks, I would have a hard time falling asleep because every time I did, I would see this freakishly deformed black goat standing on two legs. It scared me, right? Who wouldn't be scared by that? Anyways, I had had several nightmares of this goat just slowly walking towards me. One night, I was absolutely terrified, more so than usual. I decided to get up and use the bathroom to see if that would help me relax and perhaps reset my brain so that I could try to get some shut-eye. As I exited my bedroom, the living room was off to the right of the hallway, and I just stopped and froze solid. There, in the blackness of my parents' living room, with a minuscule amount of moonlight shining through the triangular windows, was the goat man. It stood about 6 foot tall. It was menacing and felt dominating and evil. The most upsetting part about this goat man was its front legs or arms. I don't know what to call them, as it stood on its hind legs, but its hands were hooves, but the elbows were broken. The hooves were upside down, facing the ceiling, and it was moving slowly, but in a dancing, swaying fashion. I just dipped back into my room, closed my eyes, and hid under my covers. I couldn't force myself to scream or face it any longer, so I guess I just chose to ignore it. Luckily, I've not seen this creature since. I've told all of my friends and family about it. They, of course, think it's hilarious. But I do think they believe me. They will bring it up in conversation, sometimes as a joke from time to time, and laugh because they know how bad it scares me. I know they mean well, but even as a 38-year-old, I still get goosebumps all over my body and occasionally have tears in my eyes. I hope I never run into this goat man again. Nancy. Wow, Nancy. I don't know what to tell you. If I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a giant, crazy-looking goat man in my room, I too would be scared. So don't think that you're crazy. It would be more crazy if you weren't scared. Speaking of scary, check this out. It says, I recently moved to Wisconsin and wanted to explore the backcountry. This was in the fall of 2022. I took a trip from the south of Superior, mostly off-road and on fire roads. On my second night, I was in the north woods, and it was getting late. So I was on a back road in a heavy forest and decided to find a spot to sleep in my truck. I went down a dirt road, probably about 2 miles or so down the dirt road. At this point, it was very dark, roughly 8 p.m., and absolutely no one for miles. I found a trail in the forest and drove about 100 feet into the woods and just parked, completely concealed from the dirt road I was just on. I got out to assess the area, but could not see anything as it was completely dark. I got back in the truck and set up for the night. About an hour into watching a movie on my phone, I heard a noise that sounded like a woman screaming. And my dog, he heard it too. I grabbed my pistol, turned on all of my lights, and opened the door to see what it was. Mind you, absolutely no one knew that I was out there, and I was far, far from civilization. I didn't see anyone or hear anyone. So I ducked back into my truck. I was a little freaked out, but figured it was wildlife. About an hour later, I was starting to fall asleep. That's when I felt my truck move as if someone was pushing on it. Again, my dog woke up too. So I knew that it wasn't my imagination. I did not turn on any lights or make a sound, but my dog seemed very uneasy. I told myself that if I heard anything else, I would get out of Dodge. Well, I ended up falling asleep. And around midnight, I woke up to my dog growling, and it happened again. I put on my boots, hopped in the driver's seat, and I got out of there. As I was driving out, I went around a corner on the dirt road, and I'm not sure if it was my imagination or what, but I swear I saw a tall, skinny thing running off the road as I came around the corner. It took about 30 minutes to get down and off the road because I continued down the original dirt road and did not go back the way I came in. By this point, it was raining pretty hard, and I did not feel comfortable being anywhere in the dark. I drove an hour and finally found a gas station and ended up staying the night there. I've never been so scared in my life, and it takes a lot to get me feeling that kind of way. I don't know what it was, and I don't know if it was human or not, but whatever was out there, it was strange and it was messing with me. That's as much as I know. Doug. Doug, sound like you made a good decision. Don't take any chances. Just get out of there. If you're in your truck, if you're in your car, get out of there. It's better not to risk it, right? Who knows what it was? It could have been Bigfoot. It could have been a serial killer. Who knows? But why take the risk? Why chance? It could have been a bear. You know, like they will rub themselves on trees, you know, to scratch. Maybe it was just rubbing on your truck to scratch itself. But either way, get out of there. That's the smart move. Well, let's take a break. We got to pay some bills around here. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some time slips. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives, talking today about one of my favorite subjects of all time. I know 20 years as well. I love the way some of them, you know, they don't really make any sense. Sometimes they can be brief, short, like glimpses of another time, something that existed long ago, or the exact opposite. It may be a glimpse into the future. My question is, whenever you misplace things like keys or something important to you and then you find it, did you really misplace it? Did you really? Or was that some form of a time slip? I think there's a lot of mystery involved in time. And I think missing keys or brief episodes of deja vu, things like that. I think that people experience time slips more often than they think, and you just don't realize it. You blame it on bad memory, or that you've been working too much, or you've been awake too long, you've been studying too hard, the kids are wearing you out, whatever it is. You just dismiss it. Like, man, I'm just tired. That's probably why I imagined that. Maybe you didn't imagine it. Maybe it was real. But let's get into some of these time slips. Check this one out. It says, on a hiking trip when I was 16 years old, I got separated from my group. I wandered around for hours looking for them. I couldn't find them. I would walk and I would look and I would yell out periodically, hoping that somebody would yell back. But all I heard was the echo of my voice. Well, while out walking, I came to the edge of a cliff overlooking a small lagoon. I again attempted to yell for help when the edge I was standing on gave way. As I started to fall, the thought of my death began flowing through my mind. Before I reached the halfway point of my fall, I saw a strange shadow approach me out of the corner of my eye. The form of a black-haired woman appeared from the shadow, dressed in what appeared to be animal hides. Her eyes were what I noticed most. They were silvery blue, and the other eye was a glowing green. So she had two different colored eyes. She grabbed a hold of me in her small but strong arms, and our fall began to seemingly slow down. We landed softly, almost like a feather, right next to the small lagoon. I asked her if she was an angel. She smiled at me and said no. All she told me was that this place belonged to her, then turned and walked into the shadows of the forest and disappeared. I shortly met up with my group, and I told them what had happened to me. They laughed at me and said no place like the lagoon was ever around here. We went home. I returned the next weekend determined to find her. I retraced all of my steps, but the lagoon and the cliff and the woman were all gone. It was as if it never happened. So, was I dreaming? It didn't feel like a dream. It felt very real to me. I'm certain of that. I hope you enjoyed the story, Justin. Wow. I don't even know what to say. That's an extremely intriguing story. You know, could the fear of being lost in the woods cause your mind to play tricks on you? Yeah, I guess so. But to invent a total event like that, to see a lagoon, a cliff, to fall off of the cliff. And also, it doesn't, you know, mention how tall the cliff was. But I mean, he clearly remembers falling at about the halfway point. That's when the woman swooped in and gathered him up and, you know, softened his fall. I don't know. Strange story. Let's move on. This one is a person that's had more than one time slip during their life. It says, the first incident I recall was back in 1975. I was at an old house in San Antonio, Texas. A couple of college friends lived there at the time, and the house was about to be condemned. So they were throwing a huge keg party one last time. Now, rumor had it that the house had once been a bordello. But, you know, college kids and creepy rumors inevitably go together. Anyways, it was an old, creaky house, and it was huge. Well, I went upstairs on this particular day, and I crept down a hallway that had multiple doors on each side. Now remember, this was happening at this keg party, so there were lots of people already there, partying, and you could hear the music playing and things like that. That's what I noticed the most is when I went upstairs and started going down this creepy hallway, the one with the multiple doors. The one thing I noticed is as I walked down the barely lit hallway, it began to get really quiet. Over time, it seemed like each step I took, the background noise faded out. I could no longer hear the radio. I could no longer hear people partying downstairs, playing beer pong or whatever. It was so quiet that I couldn't hear anything but my footsteps and the creaking of the wood floor, and of course, my breathing and my heartbeat. You ever put your head underwater, like in a swimming pool or even a bathtub? How you can only hear your heartbeat and your breathing. That's literally what it sounded like. Suddenly, I stopped and looked at the door to my left. For some reason, I just felt compelled to open it and peer inside. That's when I did notice that I could hear some muffled voices that sounded like they were coming from the other side of that door. What it sounded like was two men arguing. So, I opened the door, and it appeared that there was daylight coming through the window. And I saw two men in the room before me arguing. Now, there's a couple strange things I must point out here. First of all, this party was happening at night. So it didn't make any sense that the window behind the two men arguing, it looked daylight outside. But that's what I saw. I couldn't understand what the men were saying, even though they were right in front of me. It wasn't like they were speaking an unknown language that I wasn't familiar with. It's like it sounded like a language I couldn't or didn't hear ever. I didn't know what it was. It wasn't Spanish. It wasn't German. It didn't sound Russian. It sounded unlike anything I've ever heard before. Yet, they were both talking to each other. They didn't apparently notice me either. What I did gather from whatever the men were saying, it sounded, and I guessed, that they probably were arguing about a woman. Now, I don't know why I felt that way. I just did. In my core, I could tell it looked like two men clearly arguing over a woman. Now, once again, I mentioned they could not see me, I don't think, because they never looked over. And certainly if two people were in a room arguing, they would notice that the door opened up. Both men were in their late 20s or early 30s. One man looked Latino. The other man had blonde hair, and his shirt collar was open and sort of hanging weird. I learned later that this was probably a detachable collar, although at the time, I'd never even heard of such a thing. The Latino man pulled out a knife, and suddenly the blonde man had a gun in his hand and shot the other man in the chest. Then, instantly, it was night again. The window that once had daylight pouring through it, it was now dark, and I could see through it, and I could see the streetlights overhead and what appeared to probably be some stars in the background. There were no men in the room. The room was dark, and I once again could hear the party going on downstairs. No one was in the room. No one was in any of the upstairs rooms. I checked. It was as if I was transported for just a few minutes back in time, and then I was instantly back to the present. In my other case, in 1981, I was visiting a friend in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. We went to a bar located in the basement of an old historic hotel. I need to mention here, I was not drinking alcohol and was not under the influence of any medication or marijuana or something like that. I was stone sober. Anyways, while I was in the bar having a drink with a friend, instantly, the bar was gone. I was in a quiet room. I was as if I was transported there. In the room were two tables that looked like hospital exam tables. There were white sheets on the tables, and the room felt very clinical and sterile. I don't recall seeing anyone in there, just the room with the two beds. And then instantly, I was back. The bar had returned. There were people there having a drink, talking. I asked my friend, because I seemed a little excited, what he knew about the history of this place. Was it ever a hospital, I said? He said he didn't know anything about it. Now, this was in June. I couldn't stop thinking about what I saw, so in late October of that same year, I wrote out something much like what I've just shared, and I put it in an envelope and addressed it to the local historian in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. I also enclosed a stamped, self-addressed envelope. Most small towns had a local historian. I figured, and I mean, what did I have to lose? A couple of years went by. I moved to another apartment. Then one day, my former landlady called me to tell me that a letter had arrived at my old address for me, which in itself was odd because she had never contacted me before. I drove back over there to pick it up, and I was momentarily confused when I saw it because it looked like my own handwriting. Of course, it was. And I had entirely forgotten that I'd ever sent it. Inside was a letter from Indeed, the local historian. Somehow, it had made its way to her. She explained that she had wanted to reply months ago, but that the letter had fallen behind a dresser. She had just found it and wrote back immediately. In the letter, she said that the basement had served as a makeshift morgue during the Civil War, and that the room I had been in had served as the embalming room. She was really excited and asked me to come back sometime and tour the town. But I had learned what I wanted to, and I just let it drop. After that, all sorts of odd things happened periodically. I would see the former occupants of a house and sometimes even get a sense of who they were. For example, I would see a young woman who had lived there once, and I would know that she was very fond of a young boy. He was not a relative, but she felt very sisterly towards him. I could see them too clearly. Sometimes I could smell strange things. One winter, when I lived in Scotland, my husband and I were driving in a particularly barren area. We saw an old castle and a sign that said it was part of the Scottish Trust. When we arrived, it was closed for the winter. Now, this was in 1993 or 1994. But the caretaker drove up and kindly let us in to look around. I'd been in many, many castles, but this one viscerally creeped me out. I had to leave one room, and I made my way to the lowest level. I relaxed once I was down there because I could smell delicious bread baking. I did find that odd, but we all love that smell. A while later, the caretaker and my husband came down there, and I asked why they were baking bread today. My husband said he didn't smell anything. The caretaker just looked amused. He told us that the area had once been a kitchen. Nothing had been baked in there, he said, for hundreds of years. The last experience I will share is my most memorable. It happened in the Valley of the Kings in Luxor, Egypt. It was 1996, and we were at the Ramesium, a wonderful site of toppled statues, ancient ruins, and a still-functioning Nile meter. I walked out onto the excavated foundation of something, just a scraped-out square of sand surrounded by what looked like the remains of a low wall. I stood in the center, feeling the heat of the blazing sun, throat dry and raw from the dust. Suddenly, I felt cool water trickling over my feet. I actually jumped from the unexpected feeling. The water level didn't quite reach my ankles. Above me were banners of colored cloth stretched across a pergola. There were also fluttering flags along the sides of the structure. The floor was at a slight incline, and a wide stream of water flowed from the elevated side down, and people were seated in low chairs and benches, talking and enjoying the feel of the cool water. It was absolutely the most refreshing thing I have ever felt. Then, it all just went away. I was back in the unshaded sun, and I was actually a little emotional because the moment was gone. I did contact a couple of American Egyptologists, hoping to find one who was familiar with the Ramesium. No one ever answered me back, so I just shut down and gave up. Wow. So this person evidently has the ability to see things from the past in the present. Now, my question is, are they physically experiencing a time slip, or is it more like a medium? Like someone, you know, can close their eyes and they can see what happened there or what was there. But are they physically moving to that time? See, that's what I don't understand. For me, time slips usually is like you're physically transported there. This, I can't tell from this story if the person is physically transferred there or if they just get the impression. You know, I mean, they're talking about what they're seeing, but I can tell you about a dream where I could see people and flags waving above me and lines stretched along a pergola. But that doesn't mean I was really anywhere. It was just in my mind's eye. I don't know. Interesting story nonetheless. Moving on. This person says, I live in London, and it was in late October 1969. I was walking home late one Saturday night. I had to walk through an underpass, which was under the busy North Circular Road. It was cold and late, and I was surprised to see about 5 kids down there collecting pennies for the guy. Being his firework night, the 5th of November was soon. Now, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, it's a strange little holiday here in Britain. Penny for the guy is the idea that children in Britain collect money to buy fireworks for Guy Fawkes Night. Now, Guy Fawkes was a member of a conspiracy to blow the Houses of Parliament up. Anyways, these kids should not have been out that late, seeing as the oldest was a girl aged about 12 years old and the others were much younger. What shocked me were their clothes. their attire made me think they had come straight out of the 1920s or 1930s London. Their speech could have been taken straight out of a Charles Dickens novel. I heard the young boy say, "That other gent gave me a florin." At his age, there's no way he could have known what a florin was. It's an old English coin for the then 2 shillings. This was the late 1960s, and kids certainly didn't use words like gent anymore, geezer, or bloke, perhaps. The girl approached me, saying, "Evening, sir. Penny for the guy, please, sir." Her politeness shocked me a little, and I said, "I don't have any money." She slid her arm through mine, and she ran her hand down my sleeve, saying, "Yes, you do, sir. You're a fine gent. You do have money." I assured her I didn't have any, and I expected a rude mouthful, but she replied, "Oh, thank you, sir. You have a good evening, sir." I knew I had to give these kids something, so I pulled a silver sixpence from my pocket and called to her. I threw her the coin, and she gave me a thank you and a beaming smile and walked off into the night. This experience bugged me bad. Who were those kids? Were they from the past? I asked some local people if any kids were killed during World War II, but nobody remembered. Did I meet some ghosts? I didn't know. Were they kids from the past? I don't know. I guess in the end, I will never know. Thanks, Ronnie. Check out this next one. This story takes place in Austintown, Ohio, on Route 76 back in 1981. The person claims that I was 20 years old at the time, and Dad asked me if I wanted to look at a house that was for rent. The next morning, we went to his mom's house at 5 a.m. for some coffee. She asked what we were going to do out so early. My dad told her that we were meeting a realtor at 6. At 5:30, we left, getting to the house a couple of minutes before 6. As we pulled into the drive, we noticed the yard had not been cared for. The house was a rectangular 2-story dwelling with front windows only on the 2nd floor. As we got out of the van, it was quiet. It was calm day, except for 2 kids laughing in the backyard. We figured it was probably some neighborhood kids from across the street or something. As we approached the back of the house, there was a swing set with 2 swings. They were swinging in opposite direction, but nobody was on them. We could both still hear the laughter of a boy and girl. Another quick glance, and the swings were dead still. My dad asked if I'd seen that. I said, "Yeah, I did." We proceeded back to the side of the house. We passed the garage. It had 2 wooden doors with small glass panes. We looked in the window. The garage had a dirt floor and was empty. We walked up the side porch. The door was unlocked, so we let ourselves inside. Dad turned on the switch, but no lights came on. I tried a few myself with no luck. The inside of the house was weird. There was a large room with doorways branching off. The living room was like none I had ever seen. It was about 10 by 40, with no windows except for the small one in the door. I went back to where my dad was. He was trying to open the basement door, which was locked. My dad asked if I was ready to go. Instead of leaving, he went into the living room and stared out the front door window for about 3 or 4 minutes. I was about to go upstairs when I suddenly got a very eerie feeling, so I stayed in the main area. Dad then came out and asked if I was ready to go again. At that point, my dad made the remark that we hadn't tried that door. We had. It was the locked basement door. He turned the knob and the door opened. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. Now I was starting to get scared. My dad flipped the light switch and it came on. I was wondering why the other lights didn't come on earlier. My dad proceeded to go down the steps, but me, I was leery. I went down. The basement was small. There was an old wringer washer with a loaded revolver on the lid. It was like the silver and ivory handled cap guns that kids use today. I picked it up 4 inches off the lid, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a light cord moving. The lights went out, and the door at the top of the stairs slammed shut. It was so dark, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I felt aimlessly for my dad, and I found him. I was holding his shirt, and we slowly went up the stairs. At the top, he stopped and let out a blood-curdling scream. It made my blood run cold. I pushed him, and he pushed the door open. And when we got up there, all the lights in the house were now on, and it was dark outside. We jumped in the van and headed back to my grandmother's house, and it was 2:30 a.m. She asked, "Where had we been all day?" We had lost 21 hours and 5 minutes' time in that basement. Later, we drove past the house and all the doors were shut and the lights were all out. When I would ask my dad about what he had seen, he would cuddle in the corner and shake like a crying kid. And to this day, I don't know what he saw, and I don't want to know. Since then, he has passed away, and I will never know. I went back in 1987 to see if the house was still there, and it was. And it was still boarded up. And there was a large FBI sign on the house stating that for your own safety, to stay out. Doug. Man, that's creepy, right? What happened? Is that an abduction story? I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. Scary. That, if you see an abandoned house, don't go down in a basement, especially if you don't have a flashlight with you, a firearm, something. I mean, this is like a typical horror movie, right? I mean, who wants that experience? No one. Check this one out. This one comes from my home state of Texas. It's pretty cool. It says, "Hey guys, I love the show. You two guys crack me up and sound just like a lot of the guys I grew up with here in the great state of Texas. I want to tell you guys about this time slip I had. This actually happened only a few years ago. I live in Mejia, Texas. It's a small town south of you two, between Dallas-Fort Worth and Houston. Just talking about this story now makes me want to wet my pants. Anyways, let's start. It was an average night in my hometown. I just got done eating dinner, and I was feeling awfully tired. It was only about 8 p.m., but I decided to go to bed early. Anyways, I slept really good, and I woke up at 7 a.m. I noticed something strange outside my window, almost as if the buildings and my neighbors' homes were a slightly different color. Then again, I did just wake up. I decided to have some Cheerios. I went to go get some milk from my fridge. However, I was out of milk. I was like, what the hell? I said to myself loudly. I was a little angry at this point that I was out of milk because, I don't know, I hate it when you want something and you want to eat it and then you can't. So I decided to go to the Dollar General, which is close by, to get some more milk. I own a motorcycle and a car. And this time I decided just to take my motorcycle, maybe get some fresh air, and this would all help me wake up. When I got to the intersection, I noticed that there were no stoplights. That's weird. There's always been stoplights here, I thought to myself. There was just those blinking lights, or whatever they're called. There was usually stoplights there. I tried to shrug it off and continued my journey to the store. The first thing that I noticed that seemed a little odd was, even though I knew it was in the morning, it looked like the sun was high in the sky, like it was in the afternoon. Anyways, at this point, I was approaching the street the Dollar General was on, Sumter Street. When I finally approached the store, I slammed on my motorcycle's brakes. There was a construction site where the Dollar General was supposed to be. At first, I thought, did they tear the General Dollar down? Why would they tear the store down? Then I noticed that there was a construction worker over at the site. So I parked my motorcycle on the side of the road and went over there, not caring if I would get in trouble for trespassing, you know. And this is how our conversation went. The construction worker approached me and said, "Hey, you're not allowed around here. We're doing work, man." And I was like, "Dude, why the hell are they tearing down the Dollar General?" And the construction worker looked at me with a weird look and said, "What? How do you know this is going to be a Dollar General? Also, we're not tearing it down. We're building it. Now you need to get out of here. This is authorized personnel only." Now that's not exactly how the conversation went, but it was something close to that. When I heard the construction worker say all this, I almost fainted. I ran from the area and I hopped on my motorcycle and sped off back to my house. That's when I saw another car in my driveway. I legitimately felt like I wanted to be in a mental hospital at this point. I didn't have my phone with me or anything. I got back once again on my motorcycle and sped off the other direction, back towards the Dollar General again. This time, when I arrived, the sky was dark, and the Dollar General was there, and there were cars and everything. Everything seemed back to normal now. I stopped on the side of the road and looked at the Dollar General. I had just had a 1,000-yard stare at this point, when out of nowhere, a state trooper came up behind me with his lights on. He got out of his car and told me that I was doing 65 in a 30. I told him my whole experience and tried to convince him as much as I could to believe me. He just looked at me and said, well, that's going to happen sometimes. I gave him my driver's license and everything. He ran it through his computer and surprisingly didn't give me a ticket. He just let me off with a warning. It looked like it was going to rain, so I went back to my house. This time, I asked a friend if he wanted to stay the night just in case something like that happened again. He stayed the night, but nothing happened. Ever since that occurrence, I always want someone to stay the night at my house out of fear that I might go through this again. I have to say, it was extremely scary. Please share your thoughts, and if you don't believe me, that's fine. I don't have any control over your thoughts. Thanks for all you do, Jeff. Well, Jeff, it seems like you had a time slip there. Pretty odd. Well, I think the most odd part for me was that the state trooper was like, well, yeah, that's going to happen sometimes. I mean, you tell a state trooper that you just experienced a time slip, that's why you were speeding, and he just says, yeah, that's going to happen sometimes, and he gives you a warning. I don't know. That seems a little odd, but time slips again, people. I love time slips. If you have any time slips of your own, please share them with the show. You can email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yes, I do love me a good time slip story. And I know what you're going to say, Kyle, these are all fabricated, these are all made up. And you might be right. But I never let the truth get in the way of a good story. I like time slip stories. I think it's cool. No one ever gets hurt. It's just a good, fun time, right? Like a time slip, I would like to experience that. Shadow Man, Hat Man, Rake, Pale Crawler. No, I don't want to experience that. That sounds terrible. I might die of a heart attack. I would never be able to sleep. But a time slip, that would be cool, right? Like instantly I'm transported to some medieval town in the center of France. That would be cool. Then you come back and you're like, man, I had like a Game of Thrones moment there. No harm, no foul. That would be neat. I don't know. There's a lot of stories from all over. I like them. If you have one of your own, please don't hesitate. Send it in. Even if it's not yours. Like say you just find a cool time slip. Like maybe you're exploring around on Reddit or TikTok or Snapchat or whatever these fancy apps are that I don't use. Send them to me. I would love to hear the time slip story. I like that kind of stuff. Check this out before we get out of here. This is another crazy story about an abduction. It says, hello, I come from a family of abductees. During my life, I've had several experiences, starting with seeing a large hexagonal UFO, the kind that blends into the night sky and that you can only make out the outline as it cloaks itself. Later, I experienced shining lights coming through my ceiling, and eventually I began experiencing vivid memories of piloting a ship and being of an alien race traveling to unique worlds, some of which I called home. Over the years, I've had many experiences of being educated aboard a ship in human form, and I was always a very active, questioning, and disruptive participant. I am always trying to get people on the ships to open their minds up to new ideas, and to think differently, and also to get off the ships and onto worlds. More recently, I experienced being on a ship once more. I was led through a corridor by a hybrid scientist. He was mostly human in appearance, but with a wrinkled, thick gray skin and wearing a lab coat. Wow, even aliens wear lab coats? That's pretty cool. We passed beside a small group of dark-skinned, humanoid, dog-like people. That's right, folks. I said it. I'll say it again. A small group of dark-skinned, humanoid, dog-like people. I feel bad calling them that. They have a name. I just can't remember it. There were about 12 of them or so. They were good looking, not quite human, but were so familiar, like a very close relative of human beings, with something different about them that was jarring. They reminded me of Australian Aboriginal people in complexion. Features such as eyebrows, eye shape, smile, lips, and hair color and texture. But they had sharp canine teeth, dark dog-like noses, and the men had a lot of facial hair. The men and women wore animal skin clothing. The women were mostly of older age, wore long cloaks, and were hunched over and huddled together, and they seemed to be feeling cold. The men wore less, more like loincloths, and were varying of ages. The scientist was very nervous in proximity to these people and tried to hurry me past them down the hallway. He felt they were wild animals. In a telepathic environment, you just know how others feel. They don't have to say it or explain their feelings. They just are what they are. I was approached by one of the men insistently. He came very close into my physical space and he flashed his eyes at me urgently. They glowed bright green like cat's eyes do. I have 6 cats. None of my cats' eyes glow. Just saying. He was very passionate, animated, and intense, and I was attracted to him. He smelled very nice. He told me, telepathically, that he was lonely and that his people wanted to get off the ship, that genetically they were dying and had a very small gene pool and that they needed to start meeting people. It wasn't just to reproduce, of course. They were very social beings. He had a lot to say, and I felt that I could help explain it to the scientist because he wasn't listening. The scientist wanted to punish the man for being disobedient, and I was appalled. I had a very good feeling about them culturally as a group and felt that they would fit in very well on Earth. Both the dog man and the scientist received my feelings on the matter. In a telepathic environment, it's all pretty obvious when someone hears you. The scientist was surprised at my reaction. This was another experience of dealing with gray hybrid humans and sort of shaking my head at their oblivious ways. They know so much, but there is a lot they don't understand. I was definitely more interested in the people in the corridor than whatever the hybrid scientist was taking me to do. I don't remember anything after this point. A. Wow. A, I don't know what to say. I've heard of many strange stories when it comes to alien abduction. Of course, the Greys, of course, reptilians, of course, the Nordiques. But I've never heard of the dog-like people. But hey, who am I to say that it's not real? Maybe that's what Dogman is it's these alien dog-like people, hybrids, you know? Maybe they are being introduced on Earth. I don't know. Crazy story. Hopefully, it's just a wild set of dreams you're having and it's not really happening to you. I can't imagine anything being more terrifying than being abducted. Folks, if you have a story you'd like to share with me and Cam and the listeners, do not hesitate. You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD. If you want to help Expanded Perspectives out, go and rate and write us a review. And especially this month in the review, if you're writing a review this month, please tell us what your favorite Halloween candy is. And if I go to the reviews and I see it, I'll know that you wrote it this month. So go do that. It helps us out. If you want to help us out on YouTube, go over there, subscribe. You don't have to listen to us on YouTube. If you're listening to us here, then you're already hearing that because YouTube is just replays of this show. But doesn't cost you anything to subscribe. So just subscribe, like it. It helps us out tremendously. Also, if you want more Expanded Perspectives and you want to help us out, go to Patreon. Patreon, you get the app. You can download the Patreon app. It's free. Search up Expanded Perspectives Elite. You can join and your money helps out the show. There's 2 different tiers. There's the $5 tier. For $5, you get ad-free versions of the regular show, and you get the Elite Show from 2022 up into present. You get access to articles, polls, surveys, all that cool stuff, pictures, eventually videos, and that's what you get. For $10 a month, you get all that stuff, plus you get access to the entire back catalog going all the way back to 2014. Because that's when we started Elite. So head on over there. It's really cool. For those that, you know, we started Patreon in April and we had all the shows up available for free. till now. That just changed just the other day. So you had 6 months. You missed out. I'm sorry. Don't forget, Christmas is coming. What better gift to give somebody? Expanded Perspectives Elite. You can buy a Patreon subscription for somebody for Christmas. That's cool. We are going to have some merch coming out soon because, you know, we've been working on some test runs. We're trying to find what works the best. Also, which platform is best to sell stuff on. I don't know. It's different, folks. I know we always say we're doing it, and we always put it off. We've been doing this show for 11 years, and we still have never sold any merchandise. So we are working on that. I hope everybody has a good week. I'm sure Cam will be here next time. Till then, folks, be safe. I'm Kyle. This is Expanded Perspectives. Peace.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.